frecuencia.
You're listening to the For Frequency Sake Network. What's a frequency can at the shop in some dream?
Welcome to week three of the NFL season as we bring you For Fantasy Sake, presented by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill on the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network, presented by Durham Remodeling and Ryan Allison Tattoo. We've got some fun stuff planned for today. We've got Jordan, Joe, Dan, Brian, and Chris. How are we all doing today, folks?
Doing better than week three.
I'm doing better than Clemson fans. I'm doing better than that financial advisor kicker's family is today. Go Noles, baby. I'm hyped.
How about those Notre Dame Fighting Irish? Blowing it at the end, huh?
Don't have 10 men on the field on the final play.
Not a good look.
Not good.
Well, what do you say? We get right to it, folks. We've got some fantasy tinder to kick off the show today. Joe Burrow has struggled mightily, as have the Bengals here in the first couple weeks. Is it time to ship him off, see what you can get for him, or do you think he'll get over his injury from earlier in the offseason and get back to full strength and lead the Bengals and lead fantasy owners to the promised land? Are we dealing Joe Burrow right now? Do we like it or love it, hate it? What are we thinking? Let's go.
I'm not dealing Joe Burrow right now. He had a slow start last year too. I think them having to fight for a playoff spot now. I think he'll turn it on when he comes back and he's fully healed from his injury.
Yeah, I'm swiping left on that. I don't think you can deal him even if he has a bad year. He's one of those quarterbacks that can turn it around quick. You just can't risk losing out on him for his upside.
Yeah, I'm definitely swipe left. I mean, honestly speaking, we all play the stock market. And when do you sense sell at the lowest points you can get? So that's not a good idea.
I think Brian's definitely right. You never want to sell low, especially on a talent like Joe Burrow, which we've seen is a proven talent. Even going back to college, he was very good his senior year. He was good as a rookie until he got injured. He's been good since then. I don't know why we're making a big deal out of this because he got paid. I don't know why this is like a marker for him. Like he just forgot how to play football after he got money. I don't think that's in his DNA. He's going to turn it around.
I thought we'd be way more bounce backy on this than we have been. I'm going to swipe right. And I picked the Bengals to win the Super Bowl. I just feel like it's more of an odds thing. I think there could potentially be a better chance he doesn't finish the season than, like, things go well. I think there's a chance that he also misses, like, the next month. Like, that injury is nothing to play with. I think there's a chance he doesn't play Monday, or tomorrow, I should say. And I think that the fact that he might miss the next month is a reason that – I mean, maybe not sell him, but at least just you want to IR him and stuff on your roster and then see what happens. But yeah, I'm worried. I'm starting to get worried about the Bengals because the 0-3 is on deck and I don't know what his health is.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. Let's talk running backs for a little bit. And obviously Christian McCaffrey, Mr. Reliable, he's leading the way. But you've got guys like Kyren Williams, Brian Robinson, Raheem Mostert, guys that weren't necessarily expected to be top five running backs through 2 weeks. Let's talk about Brian Robinson, the other B Robinson in the league. Do we think Brian Robinson can finish this season as an RB1, as a top 12 running back?
I'm selling left on here. I just don't believe that he will. I mean, volume's going to keep him in the top 24, but I don't see top 12 for him.
I think historically, go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. I think the next couple of weeks he's going to be a top running back, but I think as they get farther in the season, they're going to try to focus on Sam Howell and how they can progress him. And they're just going to start throwing the ball a bit more. And it's going to drop him out.
I'm in that same line of thinking, because if you look back historically to the Chiefs offense, running backs for fantasy didn't do very well in those kind of Chiefs offenses. Now you're kind of extrapolating that over to what Washington can do for the rest of the year. I don't see the long-term value in a running back like Brian Robinson. I think he's a very good player, but I think the offense is going to be tilted more towards the passing side of the ball.
Yeah, I would swipe left. I there's too many good options too, I think, that are ahead of him. So yeah, swipe left, even though we love you, B-Rob. Shout out to him.
McLaurin and Dotson have both gotten off to rough starts, though, so there may be something to it. If it continues to progress where they're having rough outings, maybe Robinson becomes more of an actual focal point as the season goes on.
Yeah, I would say if this is a team that is going to be frisky and like flirt with 9 to 10 wins and be a wild card team, there probably is a world where it's more balanced and he actually has a really breakout season. So if you are a Washington believer, then ride that, I would say.
Playing defense and then running the ball, take the air out of the ball to give your defense more of a chance to win, could be a long-term thing. I think you're right, Joe. It kind of depends on the progression of Howell and if he can become a guy that is more than a guy at this point.
All right. Everybody's chimed in that wants to chime in here. Jordan, have you gone yet?
Yeah, I'm swiping right. I'm going to be devil's advocate on this one. I think with what Chris and Joe kind of stated about, taking the air out of the ball, having the defense try and win your games for you, really deflating teams by grinding the run. I definitely thought that him and Antonio Gibson would be a little bit more of a timeshare, but it's his backfield. So I think there's a path, and I'd swipe right on that one.
So it's been a fun start to the season at running back. We've seen some names up there that we weren't expecting. Let's talk receiver now. And speaking of guys off to hot starts and fun names, does it get any more fun than Puka Nacua? Top three receiver really through 2 weeks. Filling the gap where Cooper Kupp, he's missing some time here to start the season. Is Puka somebody that has league-winning potential? If we want to start here with Jordan and then go to Dan, Joe, Brian, Chris.
League-winning potential. I mean, honestly, I could see it. I'm going to swipe right. He's getting the volume. And I know Cooper Kupp's, waiting in the wings and could come back. But with his outbreak and Tutu Atwell kind of being there, I could see them really waiting to bring Cooper Kupp back. They're winning games without him. Why rush him back from an injury, If you start getting into a point to where you're losing a few games, yeah, you bring a Cooper Kupp back and you're going back to your workhorse. But if he can continue to do what he's doing, there's no reason. He's getting double-digit targets the first two weeks. And I just think they're going to continue to pour it on because the Rams defense isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, I think Joe said this a couple of weeks ago. Is that I'm a swipe right, but I'm gonna leave it in the messages. I think he does have the potential, but when Kupp comes back, we don't know what it's gonna look like. We don't know. They can't throw three balls at once. So they're gonna have to eventually. Someone's gonna have to have a game with a low total, not getting any touches. So I think it's something that could definitely happen depending on how Kupp's injury goes and how they want to play that, but. Once Kupp comes back, he's obviously going to be the number one target and see how he adjusts from there.
You jerk. I was going to say that exact same thing. We were going to go out for a really, really nice date. And then I wasn't going to ghost you, but, we were going to we were going to take it a little bit slow because I'm low key. I'm waiting for my ex to text me back kind of stuff. I think, yeah, it all depends on like, I do believe that the second wide, listen, I think it's kind of a, probably a bit of a better version than Robert Woods maybe, because I don't think at Robert Woods, I know Bobby Trees is kind of the old school for fantasy sake, Easter egg, but I don't know. I don't think he ever probably really was a legit top tier fantasy guy when the Rams were really cooking when he was on the team. But I think Nacua is a bit better than that probably. But when Cup comes back, it will be interesting to see his share. And who knows? Maybe they just have two wide receiver one level guys, and that's possible because Nacua, it's not just the system stuff. Like people are wanting to bump because people just think Cooper Kupp's not that good. No, Kupp was awesome, and I think Nacua's been awesome too. And there's a reason that a future Hall of Fame quarterback is force feeding him the ball like that.
I'm personally going to swipe right here. I mean, first of all, defining league winner hard to begin with. I mean, you got him off the waiver wires 90% of the time. So in a redraft, I'd say he's already been. Me, because even when Cup comes back, his share, I think Tutu may be the thing of that's not going to get the targets. So, yeah, I'd say already is and will continue to be.
Yeah, I would swipe right. Although Joe saying that Stafford is a Hall of Fame quarterback made me kind of rethink my whole life. But
I mean, he is.
Okay, good luck with that. Puka Nacua has 36 targets already this year. Debo's been through three games, and Debo's at 31. So Puka Nacua, just on target share right now, shows you that he's a guy who can win you games in fantasy. I think once Cup comes back, that is going to be, you know, it's going to be on the downside from there, but there's a legitimacy to what he's doing right now. And Tutu Atwell, like Brian said, is probably going to be the odd man out. It's a second year for Tutu. He didn't really prove a whole lot in that first year. So once you've got somebody who's a star coming back into the mix, you want somebody who you know is going to be solid. And I think Puka Nacua has already proven that to everybody.
Hey, man. See? Matthew Stafford, fastest to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 yards, Super Bowl winner.
I think
that's nice.
Give me that gold jacket,
to
baby.
To go after Chris's point, the one thing I see from a betting side with Nacua that makes me kind of want to hold him for a bit is, although he's getting all these targets, his like lines for receiving yards are a lot lower for someone who's getting this amount of targets. I mean, you look at like players like Jefferson and Hill that are getting around the same amount of targets, their focal point, their lines around 100, his are still barely around 60. So I think even Vegas is predicting a fall off in the next couple of weeks, and that's definitely, when Cup comes back, that's something to monitor to see how that happens.
You think he kind of falls into a Wes Welker type of role where he's a, you know, third down go over the middle guy once Cup comes back?
I the way I see it is, I feel like once Cup comes back, if he has a hot game, then Nacua is going to have a hot game because they're going to have to focus on Cup. And if it gets to a game where it's like, hey, we need to shut down Cooper Cup, Nacua and Atwell are going to go off. It's a stretch, but I could see a potential of a dollar store version of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, where it's, you got to cover one of them, let the other one beat you.
And with the way Kyren's playing in the backfield, I mean, you've got the running game in the mix a little bit too. So I love that Rams offense with Cup, without Cup. I like to have as many pieces of that as I can, at least here in week 3. So we've talked a little quarterback, running back, receiver. Now let's go to tight end. DJ threw this one in there. We'll keep this one short. I don't see a whole lot of swiping right, but we'll see. Because of his knee injury, hyperextending it before week 1, Travis Kelce could finish outside the top 5 at tight end. So if we've got any swipe lefters, let's have you go first and wait for the crickets.
Yeah, I'm swiping left. I mean, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, because I do think he does look slow, and he definitely didn't have any burst. He probably shouldn't be back yet, but I also think there's a good chance he goes insane today. So, yeah, he'll be fine in the long haul.
And he's dating Taylor Swift.
That he is. He's got a blank space, baby. He'll write your name.
Come on, they're hanging out.
Waller was borderline up.
What'd you say, Brian?
Yeah. Considering Waller was borderline top five after three games, I don't think there's any path here to Kelsey to finish outside of the top five. That would take another injury for sure.
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, you saw it last year, even in games where he – like there was a game he only had like 15 yards, I think. He still was the touchdown threat. He still had like 15, 16 points that game in fantasy. So, I mean, everyone knows if the team's down, the ball's going to Travis Kelce, no matter you double guard him, triple guard him, however you want to do it. So I think it's really crazy to think he would finish outside top five.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty easy one. So I think we're all, we all agree he'll probably finish in the top five. Shouldn't have any issues sticking around. So we'll take a quick break. We will talk Toys for Tots for Buck's sake. We'll talk some daily fantasy here in just a little bit. And again, you can get your questions and comments in. We've already seen some of those rolling in. We've got some questions from some folks on our social media channels. We'll get to those around 11:15 today. So stay tuned. More of For Fantasy Sake is next. Serving the Quad Cities area since 1973. And with over 50 years of excellence on their track record, you'll see why it's so easy to trust their experts when it comes to all of your home improvement projects. This family-owned business has you covered on all your needs. Protect your home or building from the elements today and get great roof repair services. Need new windows? No problem. Durham Remodeling can upgrade your windows and doors. Whether you want to upgrade the little details in your home or office, or want to tear a room down and start fresh, the expert contractors at Durham Remodeling have your back. Even the smallest changes can completely transform your space. Ready to start entertaining your friends for backyard barbecues? Durham Remodeling will help you plan, design, and build your deck and patio for the perfect outdoor space. Durham Remodeling's work is 100% guaranteed, so you can rest assured that you're getting the best service around. Call 309-786-6715 today for your free estimate for all your roofing, siding, flooring, windows, and painting needs. That's Durham Remodeling, 309-786-6715. Transform your body into a canvas of exquisite storytelling and profound self-expression with the skilled hands of Ryan Allison. Craft custom masterpieces that tell your unique story together. Ryan specializes in color tattoos as well as black and gray. He also practices a diverse range of styles, whether you're passionate about anime, fantasy, mythology, pop culture, video games, movies, the esoteric, nature, creatures, dot work, black work, or you have your own ideas. Ryan embraces your distinct vision with an unwavering commitment to passion, precision, and originality. Each project he undertakes is a labor of dedication, a fusion of research, artistic ingenuity, and profound symbolism. His commitment to authenticity is nothing short of remarkable, infusing his very soul into every creation. From half and full sleeves to bodysuits, awesome back pieces, to majestic front panels, Ryan is the artist for anyone seeking powerful, breathtaking artwork. With every stroke of his needle, he weaves a tale that's as unique as you are. Don't settle for ordinary tattoos when you can elevate your ink to the extraordinary with Ryan Allison. Embark on your creative journey by booking a consultation with him and proudly exhibit your story on your skin. Visit Ryan at Why Not Ink Studio in North Park Mall or check out his portfolio online at ryanallison.art. Ryan Allison Tattoos. When you choose me, you're not just getting a tattoo, you're getting an experience. For Fantasy's Sake has teamed up with Route 96 Boutique to raise a little more cash for Toys for Tots this season. From September 10th until the end of November, 10% of all purchases made with Route 96 on Sundays will be donated to us for our Toys for Tots drive. At Route 96, they believe in girl power. They want a place that people of all shapes and sizes can shop,
and feel empowered and beautiful. They want you to be the best you possible, and they are committed to bringing you different styles while also providing some basics to express the true you. You can find them on Facebook and at Route96Boutique.com.
Let's give you a quick Toys for Tots update. Again, big thanks to Route 96 for helping out with that. Week 2 top scorer. And DJ says the winner was the man waiting for a verbal apology from Joe Winkle, Jordan Rangel, in the Nelson Cuffler division, 208.5 points. Joe, I'll let you chime in really fast.
Listen, man. So the other day, I went out with my lovely, lovely girlfriend to Applebee's. Shout out to All You Can Eat Wings. And I see a guy, and he waves, and I give him a little point, the little what's up, dog. And I'm thinking to myself, who the hell is that? Why do I know them? Why does their face look so familiar? And then I get a screenshot text from our head of the table, Mr. Jarvis, and it's Jordan Rangel. And then he said something along the lines to DJ of like, he just pointed, Joe pointed me out. He's at Applebee's, but I don't think he knows me. And I was like, damn it. I felt bad. Jordan, I apologize. I now know you. We can be best friends. We can hang out and yell at each other about stupid stuff.
Enjoy some All You Can Eat Wings at Applebee's.
Exactly.
Joe is sorry. He was not aware of your game.
I was, yeah. yeah.
So there you go. Jordan Rangel, the top scorer across all of the divisions this week. Top scoring celebrity. And again, we use the celebrity term very loosely around here. It was Doug Green, 197.96. And our week 2 top scoring ladies league participant, that was Bonnie Robinson. We got a 219.04 score. They must have some different league settings. Maybe that's just a stacked team.
Maybe her team is just juice, dog.
My goodness. I mean, I have noticed that the scoring in this league is a little more generous than your standard and half leagues. I think you get 6 point touchdowns for quarterbacks, things like that. But good on you, Bonnie. Top scoring team in all of Toys for Totland here on the For Frequency Sake podcast network. So now we've got that out of the way, how about we talk some dollars? So Brian and Jordan, if you want to talk about some daily fantasy, maybe some of your favorite stacks for the week, your Staffords and Pukas of the world, or your unsung heroes, guys that are cheap that you think could go off this week, the Browns backfield, what with Ford, things like that. What are we looking at for this week? No, he is not. Jordan is not on the Ford bandwagon. So we'll let you guys talk about your daily fantasy this week.
Brian, I'll defer to you, bud.
Jordan, you go first if you'd like to.
Okay. Yeah. So the Jerome Ford, I'm not on that at all. Going up against that Titans stout run defense, there's just – I don't see it. I think, you know, they just signed Kareem Hunt, but I think he could be a little bit more involved than what you think. He already knows the team being on there the last few years. I'm not on the Jerome Ford bandwagon. I'm paying up at running back this week. There is a lot of value out there for wide receivers. But if you want to know my top stack, and it's probably everybody's top stack, it's going to be Kirk Cousins to Jay Jettas all day long.
I totally agree with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's definitely a stack that I'm considering using. I also go with Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown for the second straight week. I like that stack. And I'm a little bit different on Jerome Ford. And do I see him having a monster week? No, but at $4,800, I mean, do you really have to be? That kind of offers me some flexibility elsewhere. So I'm okay using him.
Yeah, that's fair.
Go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I feel like with Ford, they already chose Ford over the guy that they just re-signed. So, I mean, it feels like that this is a re-sign that makes sense, but from a fantasy perspective, we're kind of jumping the gun on that. Do you guys kind of also feel that way?
Yeah, it's a depth signing to me. I mean, because they, like you said, they released Hunt once. I mean, the options were probably, it came down to Hunt, who already knew the system, and Fat Lenny in Tampa Bay's ex-Tampa Bay guy. So, you know, I'm okay. I'm assuming that Kareem Hunt is more of a physical specimen than Lenny. So why go and get somebody you have to get back in shape? So,
shout out to Crude Oil Lenny.
So what's your thoughts on, I've been seeing a lot of people kind of undervaluing one that I think with the way the Ravens have kind of been depleted the last couple of weeks, on Nelson Aguilar. I mean, he got a touchdown last week. He seems to be playing pretty solid as like a third wide receiver role, and his price is pretty low too. I think it was 4,200 last I checked.
See, and I like, you're playing with kind of the ghost of Aguilar there. You know, Zay Flowers is definitely going to usurp anybody who's in that role. He's going to be the number one wide receiver. And I think the boat has kind of passed on Rashad Bateman. You know, he was supposed to have a big breakout year 3 years ago, and then 2 years ago, and then last year, and now this year. You know, he's supposed to come in and be the wide receiver too, and just never has done it. So I think that's a viable option. But somebody who I'm paying down for even less, Braxton Berrios. $3,600, no Jalen Waddle. You know, I could think they try, you know, that Patrick Sertan's going to be on Tyreek Hill. Not that Tyreek Hill is coverable, but Braxton Berrios is kind of, everybody's been on like Tank Dell and all his targets. I'm pivoting to Braxton Berrios. They're both the same price. I just think Berrios is going to have the higher upside in this game.
Yeah.
But Aguilar is serviceable.
Definitely see that for sure.
How about running back?
But that being said, on Aguilar, don't forget also that Odell's out today. I don't think Aguilar is a bad play at all, to be honest.
No, not at all. I just, like I said, I think I can get a little bit cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
Where are you guys thinking of tight end?
There's actually a lot of cheaper options.
You said tight end, Chris?
I think there's a lot of inexpensive options below 4th.
Yeah, what are you guys thinking of tight end? There's a lot of inexpensive wasteland out there.
Go ahead, Brian.
There is, but we kind of got familiar with his name last week, Jake Ferguson at 36. I'm good with him. I'm also good with Dalton Kincaid. So I'll bring those names up each and every week until they adjust. So it is a wasteland, but I'm not paying up for it. So
nope, I've got a couple even cheaper options here. Kind of go off my Braxton Berrios play. If you're not playing him, I'm going Durham Smythe. On the field a ton, getting targets, especially red zone targets. He's my cash play tight end right now. And then John Bates from Washington. There's no Logan Thomas. I know Cole Turner was kind of the big, huge pop guy last year, but John Bates, after Logan Thomas went out, he was the one who was on the field. If you were trying to get different, I mean, Durham Smythe is only $100 more, so I still think I'm going with him. But just if you were looking to pay down, I think those are your two options.
And just
what do you think about Laporta?
I like Laporta. Like I said, I'm big on the Lions this week, but you're paying up a little bit for Laporta even over the guys that I mentioned. So I like Laporta fine. I'm not sure I'd pay up that much.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I had him placed in a few other, and then the, you know, just saving the $600. Like, there was I was putting together a lineup last night, and the $600 that I needed to get up to Amari Cooper came from Zach Ertz. I like it. He's getting a ton of targets. And I think he will. He's going to be that option because that Cowboys pass rush is going to get at Josh Dobbs like there's no other. So I think dump offs to James Conner, to Zach Ertz, is where it's going to be for that team. Even though they lost Trayvon Diggs, I still think with Stephon Gilmore, I can't think of the guy's first name, something bland, Jordan Lewis, that secondary is still good. did it take a huge hit? Yeah, absolutely. But I think it still shut down, you know, Marquise Brown and Rondale Moore.
Bad quarterbacks sure love their tight ends, so it's a good bet.
So with terms of defense, like I've just been playing the Cowboys heavily. Do you see, like, and I mean, I know they're way above pretty much every other defense, and money-wise, do you see another one that can give you the similar numbers for the less price?
Bills D.
This week, I actually went with the Patriots.
I like that pick, too. But Bills D's 2,900 going up against Washington. Washington's kind of been playing again. I mean, the Broncos defense isn't what it used to be. I know that they used to be just a big, like, they used to kind of be the running team and with the big defense. And they have a few good corners, but the Bills defense, I think their pass rush can get to Sam Howell for 2,900. I just think they're mispriced.
Josh Kelly was the hot name last week. Oh, I'm sorry. And what do you guys think after a down week last week? I remember somebody last week in this group saying, Josh Kelly, when he's the guy, he's not the guy.
I think I said that.
I'm trying to make you look good, Nick.
Hey, it worked. I don't think he had a very good game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Josh Kelly.
That's bad.
Hold on a sec. There we go. Chris is back. We'll hang on to Nick here for the next segment.
Yeah, I think Josh Kelly going up against the Vikings, just abysmal defense. I think there's going to be a ton of points scored in that game. Who they played the Titans last week, right?
Yeah.
Josh Kelly and the Chargers. Yeah, and that's why I don't like Jerome Ford, because I feel like Josh Kelly is a pretty explosive back. And he does good things, you know. I mean, God, look at week one, 16 carries, 91 yards. I think he definitely has a way better week this week. And is probably a little bit more involved, but I honestly don't think I'm going to roster him in any of my lineups, just cause I think that I can have the salary to pay up at running back. And like I said, that's just my opinion though.
That's actually my game of the day. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and I'm fine with Kelly. I mean, because he can be a contrarian play at a little less expensive price. But there's a lot of options in that game. Like I said, that's my game of the week. So I like Mike Williams playing in specific.
So, and just curious, I just got the notification Aaron Jones is out this week. Do you see value at AJ Dillon?
I'd have to. Jordan, can you see the price on Dillon, or can anybody see the price?
I think he's 5,900, if I'm not mistaken.
57 on
57. Go ahead, Brian.
To me, they go ahead and correct AJ Dillon anyway, so he'll get his volume. But 5,700 is a little bit too much for me to pay up for, to be honest.
I've got another guy at 5,700 for you. And his name's Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
Disgusting. I'm not a DFS guy at all, but I was just thinking of like the guys playing. But AJ Dillon did not give me any like positivity when he's RB1 last week against the Falcons defense, who I think is kind of punchy. But and I feel good about the Packers today, but I don't think it's going to be A.J. Dillon-centric. But maybe he can talk some touchdowns, so maybe that could be a good route for you if you're an A.J. Dillon backer today. Yeah.
I just hope he stayed away from the food bars this week getting ready for the game. So,
hey, man, don't hate on our thick king, even though I'm not a Packers fan. But
don't follow Eddie Lacy route.
Exactly, Eddie Lacy out there.
So you're saying AJ Dillon's about to start tweeting about China food?
Exactly.
No one get mad. Go look up Eddie Lacy China food on the artist formerly known as Twitter. You'll understand the reference. No one come in here with angry tweets that whatever.
All right. I think that'll put a button on our DFS chat for the day. We've got Gridiron AI with Nick Girl coming up next. You can also get your questions in about lineup, start, sit, things like that. We'll get to that around 11:15. We'll also talk some betting a little closer to the top of the hour. So stay with us. You're listening to For Fantasy's Sake.
Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sundays, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up $1 wings and $2.50 drafts and domestics all day. And your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? You'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and beer fix, finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City-style pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC-style pies for the last 24 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline.
Are you looking for the largest slice in the Quad Cities? The right spot is Lopie's Pizza. It's better than a hot dog and a handshake. They have two great locations, uptown on Brady for your delivery and catering needs, and downtown at 429 East 3rd Street in Davenport for the full experience. Lopie's is family-owned and family-friendly. Into wrestling like us, you can catch shows every day and twice on Sunday at their downtown location. Who knows, you may run into a local wrestler or a local podcaster or two while you're there. Stop by each month for a different featured slice by various artists. Lopie's Pizza, a proud sponsor of the Card Subject to Change podcast on the For Frequency's Sake podcast network.
For Frequency's Sake has you covered on all things sports. From the squared circle to the hardwood and the gridiron to the speedway, we've got something for everyone. Walk down the aisle with the boys from Card Subject to Change every Sunday as they take a deep dive into everything pro wrestling. Need your gambling fix? We've got you there. Enter Pit Row with Rod Villagomez and Fast Money as we win the checkered flag with NASCAR, Xfinity, and truck race winners and props. Football more your style? Explore the waters of NFL DFS with DFS Deep Dive with Brian Craighead and Jordan Kernan each week. More into the science portion of the game? We've got a double dose of action there. The Professor John Bush and Dennis Michelson take you into their science lab and dissect your week in the data lab. Want an analytical take? Nick Girl and the team at Gridiron AI come to you each week with The Lab. Need to know who to start last minute? The network's flagship show, For Fantasy's Sake, is here in a pinch. The fellows come to you live every football Sunday from 10 to 11:30 Central with the week's best DFS, gambling, and lineup advice. And wrap up your Sundays with Joe Winkle and Nick Brinks as they come to you live with educated ignorance looking at all the day's action. Can't get enough of Joe? He comes to you three times a week. Not enough football on Sunday? Not a problem. Kick your feet up at lunch on Monday and slip on into the football lounge with Mark and Dan while they look at the week that was in news, notes, and more. For frequency's sake, you know what we mean.
All right, we're back. Nick, welcome. We're going to talk some Gridiron AI and use our fancy spreadsheets and all of the AI wonders of the world and talk about some football with it. We'll let you take the stage. Welcome.
Yeah. So resident nerd here from Gridiron AI. Thanks for having me on. So diving in a little bit more today with just kind of like some general player takes in terms of how we think these games are going to play out. So these should help you with DFS. And I'm building DFS lineups right now, so I'm going to kind of have that spin on it. But also it should help you in your redraft leagues. I think I gave a pretty good Josh Reynolds pickup take. I know he helped me in a lot of leagues, so if anybody was listening and started him, I think he scored like 25 points. He saved me in a couple spots. But all right, diving in, our top two quarterbacks this week at Gridiron AI, when we, you know, optimize the lineups for your head-to-head matchups in cash games, we really like Patrick Mahomes and Kirk Cousins. I heard you guys mention Kirk Cousins. He's a strong play this week in a high total game. Two defenses that might not be that great against the pass. And Patrick Mahomes just isn't on like the main slate very often because he gets a lot of primetime games. And just in his career, he's, you know, he's the QB1 overall, like a lot more than everybody else. I think we kind of, you know, take Patrick Mahomes for granted. So he's a very strong cash game play, and there's enough savings across the board that you can fit him in pretty easily. so that covers it in terms of like cash game plays for quarterback. In tournaments, I really like Lamar and Justin Fields, just the two, you know, most explosive rushing quarterbacks are both on this slate, and they're not popular. I just think those are good spots to target if you're trying to win like a bigger tournament, or, you know, if you have like a 20 to like 100 person pool. Like that's the type of guy you might want to build your lineup around. I really like Lamar because he's playing the Colts, and the Colts are surprisingly pass happy this year. I think we were expecting them to be less so with Anthony Richardson. We do have Minshew starting for them, which, you know, he's a backup quarterback for sure, but he operates the offense well. And we know that the Ravens are also, you know, under Todd Monken, supposed to be pretty pass happy too. So that game could shoot out in an unexpected way. So I like that game a lot. So Lamar, Fields at quarterback, and running backs. Our top guys are Tony Pollard, Isaiah Pacheco, who's going to play this week, and Kenneth Walker. That game in Kansas City is such a heavy favorite for KC. I think you're going to see Pacheco kind of, you know, ice the game out. I know we have injury concerns with him, but he's going to play. Pollard has like an insane goal line role, so he's been scoring well, but it's actually been, you know, underperforming his expectation based off of leading the league in goal line carries. So he's a really strong play this week, as well as Kenneth Walker, who for the same reason gets a lot of goal line carries. At wide receiver, Justin Jefferson, I don't really need to explain that one, but Nico Collins against Jacksonville is a strong play. The CJ Stroud's been making the leap to the NFL pretty easily, it seems, and they're throwing the heck out of the ball. So Nico Collins is his number one receiver. And then I know this one might, you know, make your stomach turn, but Adam Thielen's a strong play this week against Seattle. It's probably, like, at this point, maybe a solid upgrade from Bryce Young, who's, you know, adjusting to the NFL still. I think his ceiling's much higher than Andy Dalton, but you might see Andy Dalton feed Thielen this week. Andy Dalton was actually a pretty solid guy for our fantasy wide receivers last year in New Orleans. So I don't mind playing Thielen for some salary savings. And then to round it out at tight end, you guys mentioned paying down at tight end. I do think this is a week you can play Travis Kelce if you're a Travis Kelce truther. Really strong projection. He should play full time. He was a little bit limited last week. And also Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox are both strong plays at the same price point, around 3,200, 3,400. So those are kind of like, you know, one at the low end, Dalton Kincaid, one at the high end, Travis Kelce there. And then defense, just pay down. So Buffalo and the New York Jets are both strong plays this week in their own right. But yeah, I'll pause there. Just kind of rip through all the plays there. Any questions? Anything stand out to you guys?
The sound that you heard was us as a nation vomiting at the thought of having to get out Adam Thielen.
I know. It's tough out here.
How dare you? You sicko. But it's that's tough. What we it's like tough. Here. We like sickos. So I appreciate you for being a sicko.
I think one thing I'm interested in, do you guys think so we got a report that Jaylen Warren's going to be more involved this week, as well as, like, to spit in the Steelers' face, like, Matt Canada got promoted. So I think it's just kind of a message to the fans, but I think Jaylen Warren's a very strong play in whatever you're playing, whatever format of fantasy football you're playing, if he's going to get, you know, 60-40 in his favor this year, this week.
I don't know he's better than Najee, because Najee is as fast as me. Yeah. And I would probably run like a 7-second 40 right now.
Yeah.
Maybe an 8. My lower body's goofed up, but you know, like, I just don't know what you can trust with that offense. Now, granted, today is much better than playing two of the best five defenses in the league, because the Raiders could be paper mache, but we'll see. I want to see. My biggest worry with them is that they just lack creativity.
Yeah. It's tough out there right now. But, do you guys have any opinion on that Baltimore Colts game? Any plays you like there? Because I think, like, stacking that game in different ways for DFS could be interesting.
I really like what I've seen so far. Pittman this season's been pretty solid. I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm really high on the Ravens this week. Like, with all the injuries, I feel like a lot of the players who, like, their lines were super low and their value was super low, they haven't really changed that much, because no one really knows, like, what the game plan is going to be. They haven't said anything on, like, what we're focusing on. But, I mean, I think, like, you got Gus Edwards is really their only running back right now. So, you know, he's going to definitely get touches. I really like him. And especially the way the weather's been out here, on the East Coast, like everyone's going to be running this week. So I think running back heavy is going to be something to look forward to.
Yeah. I have a question. So you mentioned do you look at player prop lines to help you kind of get a feel for?
Yeah, a little bit. I look at player prop lines through the week, and I'll see how they adjust, how they're based off injuries. And then I look and see if their value increased or not. So like if I see like, for example, Zay Flowers, his line went up from like 47 to 52 once it was listed as Beckham was out, but his value didn't change on DraftKings. So okay. I knew I wanted to take him because it means Vegas saw clearly he's going to get some extra action. He's going to get an extra couple targets at least, but they didn't notice it enough in DraftKings to up his value.
Yeah. So just kind of like a sneak preview. This weekend is like one of my nerd projects, right? Like there's a way you can access the lines across a couple of different books, like player prop lines. So I kind of averaged those together and then calculated fantasy projections from those. The tough problem that's like probably more art than like data stuff is like, you know, when it's, you know, minus 125 on the over versus minus 115, like, first of all, you have to understand how the odds work. And that's is it juiced on one side more because, you know, the model at the sports book thinks it's the better bet, so it should cost more, right? Or is it juiced because like public opinion is so strong that there's so much public money on that side? What I did is I just kind of, you know, tweaked it one way or the other based off of like what side cost more. And the projections came out like pretty similar to the Fantasy Pros, like consensus projections, which I guess is like that's kind of interesting, but the differences make sense. So one of them is Vegas is a little bit more into Lamar Jackson and his receivers than the public would be, I think.
Right.
I was going to ask, too, we mentioned in that real quick before we moved on to a different game. Don't you think there's some really good value still in Zay Flowers, like right now in Zay Flowers? Because I think Zay Flowers is showing how good he is, and I think he's only going to have better and better and better weeks. So where is the money at on him when it comes to that and just from a regular fantasy perspective too, do you think he has got some high upside?
I think so. Yeah. I think there's probably more sharp money than public money on Zay Flowers. So I think it's a pretty solid bet, to think he's going to have a big day. I don't, for whatever reason, like we haven't just heard a lot in the media, at least I haven't, on Odell being out for whatever. So like, that's like kind of a big deal because, you know, it moves him one spot up in the pecking order. You can make an argument that he was already ahead of Odell, but that's one less person he's competing with targets. And Aguilar, I think they're comfortable having Zay and Bateman on the field. And maybe Aguilar kind of takes away from Bateman snaps, but it's Mark Andrews, then it's Zay Flowers. So I really like him for sure.
I got a question for you, Nick. It's the fast food of fantasy football where I know it's bad, but it's cheap. And it's Zach Moss. He's down there. He's not good at football, but he's going to get points. How do you stay away from something like that? Or is that just kind of, you know, the cartilage of a good team has to have that player in there who's not good at football, but they might get you points?
I think Zach Moss, I mean, if you're going to, it's cheap running back volume, where it's a plug and play, in my opinion. The short answer is that like I'm not afraid to play him, just because, I mean, they waived Deion Jackson, so I'm not even sure like who his backup would be right now, but they want him to play like every single snap for whatever reason. They trust him. He had a big day last week, so and I like that game. Like I said, I think Gardner Minshew obviously like is not as exciting as Anthony Richardson, but I think he's probably one of the better backup quarterbacks. And I think that's going to be kind of a high scoring game.
What a take by Chris Steele. Fast food to fantasy football.
Yeah, right.
That was great. Well,
Zach Moss looks like he likes sack fast food too, but I have a broader question. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, once you said that, I was in my head. I was like, all right, where's he going with this? There's at least 10 players you could say that name.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're really struggling with Daniel Jones, unfortunately. The dud, 30-pointer dud, like our model, for whatever reason, loves Daniel Jones, and it's become a little bit of like a meme in the Discord. So So yeah, get in there. And I mean, every single week, because we definitely had, like, he was our number four quarterback overall going into the season. So like everyone that subscribed to us, like, probably has him and as their quarterback that they took super late. But yeah, it's been a struggle. He's I think it's going to kind of even out here, but that was a rough night.
Has your faith kind of wavered? I know that we take a lot of stock into what we see, and the numbers are the numbers, but when you watch the gif of him making the face, does change your opinion of it?
We might need to get some facial recognition AI to incorporate that into the model. But I do think that's my time. I'm trying to keep it tight here. I gotta go. I'm gonna update those projections, because I do think with like all the inactives and actives and like the recent news, like late news is very, very valuable, because not many people have a system in place that they can react to it appropriately. So that would be my last piece of advice. Go check the late news. Keep listening to these guys, and thanks for having me on. Come check out gridironai.com. Thank you.
Super last quick question, because I need to know.
Yeah.
Is your model the Giants GM trying to validate the $40 million contract?
It's not. They're welcome to hire me. I have a lot of different ways I can make Daniel Jones look good, apparently. But thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Attaboy.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. We're going to talk betting when we come back. Take your energy level to new heights this football season with Lifted Energy. Try any of Lifted's 9 specialty energy drinks or create your own and conquer fatigue. Visit Lifted this fall at 2430 16th Street Moline, or check their Facebook page at Lifted Energy to see what festival, market, or fair they are popping up at today. Lifted Energy, get lifted. Hate mowing? Need your lawn or business landscaped? Having trouble with an unruly yard that your neighbors hate? Yard Barbers LLC is your hookup. Mowing, weeding, edging, trimming, aerating, fertilizing, haul away, they can do it all. And they aren't just good for your summertime yard blues. They work all year long, and you can get signed up for their winter services for that annoying snow and ice removal. Find Yard Barbers on Facebook at Yard Barbers LLC, send them an email at yardbarbersqc@gmail.com, or shoot them a text at 309-235-1595. For the record, for DJ and Doug, we have kept this show ahead of schedule today. So bravo to us. Last week, got off the rails a little bit with 34 boxes of us talking and talking and talking. So we've got some time now to talk bets. Joe, I'm not going to cut you off this week. Daniel, we'll get a couple from you, and then maybe – highlight or preview your 11:30 show. You've got the golden ticket, hopefully for everybody, but for sure on the podcast network today. That's at 11:30. We'll talk some prop bets. We'll give you our anytime touchdown picks for the week. And Joe, I will give you the floor to begin here. We'll talk betting for a good 20 minutes or so.
I told DJ the other day on the phone, you let the radio guy host, and we are about to be a hot knife through butter. All right. So the Sinister Six this week was an all NFL slate. I have retired from college football handicapping. College football is just going to be my guilty pleasure now. It's going to be the thing that I talk about at parties where like the music's loud and I'm just like pulling people over like, guys, can I tell you how cool this like Texas A&M can I tell you how cool this Texas Tech Kansas game was? That's going to be how I talk about college football now. So this all 6 of our picks today are NFL related. Let's get into them. All right, we are going to start. I should probably pull FD up to make sure these lines are the same. But we're going to start with Titans Browns. We got it the other day at 3.5, and it is still 3.5. I do worry about the Titans O-line a bit, but and my man's Nick knows this because this is how we feel. Vrabel is a covering machine. I trust the fact that Deshaun, or that the nastiness of the Titans D-line is going to do well against the Browns trying to figure out their run game, and Deshaun's kind of wackiness on where he's at right now. So Titans plus 3.5. We love that. We are going to take that to the bank. The only thing we feel bad about is if Ryan Tannehill continues to be an operative of the government and is secretly taking bets against his own team. Okay, next. We have another way cooler thing to talk about with this game in a little bit, but we're going to go chart where we are taking Chargers Vikings over today. We got it at 53.5. It has since moved up to 54.5, but that is fine. We are still going to ride it. Points forever. This game is going to be crazy and very stupid. Again, more on that game later. Trust me, you want to stick around because it's a doozy. I mentioned this earlier. I feel good about the Packers today, even though, again, they have the list of high-level players being inactive. I think this is a twofold thing. The Packers at -1.5. Or no, we're getting points now. Packers at +1.5. It's fine. Give them to me. Love it. We'll take it. I feel like people are a little too high on the Saints. They played, again, CIA agent Ryan Tannehill, and they played the Panthers, who are awful in the first 2 weeks. Yes, their defense is good. I understand that the whole they haven't given up 20 points since last year, etc. Their defensive front is nice. They are proving that they can draft guys. They are proving their operation of, even though they have lost high-level talent because they don't know how to operate the salary cap, they've shown that they can replenish it with good draft picks. I just feel like that we're overvaluing them because I think the Packers' defense is a little punchy, and Derek Carr kind of stinks. And Jordan Love has looked comfortable so far. He hasn't been a world beater, but he has definitely looked comfortable, and they found different ways to make things work. I think they're going to scheme some stuff open today. I think Matt LaFleur gets in his bag, and I think the Packers get it done on the field. The fact that we're catching points now makes me feel even better. We'll keep this short and sweet. The Redacteds are going to Kansas City, and they're going to lose by 60 to the Chiefs. The conversation to be had about that team will be had whenever the actual news breaks about certain stuff. It's not good. It's not pretty, allegedly. But the Chiefs are going to roll through them like it's Buzzsawville. I don't see any what you can you can spin it as, you know, this is the buyback spot on them because of everything that's happened. They're going to bust out all this cool stuff today. No, they have gone through this the last two weeks with coaches resigning, you know, alleged potential federal investigations. Shout out to Pat McAfee, their coaches, everybody in the organization is running to the press conferences to tell the media that the person next to them sucks. So yeah, we're fading the Redacteds. We're burying them. Their naming rights have been lost forever. The Chiefs -12.5. I would take the Chiefs -50.5. I would take the Chiefs first half line, halftime line. The question today is going to be, does former Redacteds coach Matt Nagy want to embarrass his former team, and will the Chiefs call the dogs off? I think this is going to get disgusting. I think this was the end of the Fox era. Sunday night game, they went to Green Bay, the Redacteds did, and they were down like 42-6 at half on Sunday Night Football. Think that game. Today's going to be gross. Two more. Steelers on the road against the Raiders. Is it still +2.5? If so, it's three. What are we doing? Again, Tomlin, covering machine. The Raiders, why do people like the Raiders? They suck. I understand the Kenny Pickett, Matt Canada experience is not fun, but goodness gracious. Yeah, that's – I don't know what I'm missing, Dan. I hope you've got a play on that. I know we're picking the Steelers like we're Steelers fans every week, but we're going to continue to ride Tomlin until the wheels fall off. You know, they're not playing the Niners this week. And then lastly – so, yeah, Steelers +3 in Vegas. And then lastly, Broncos – +6.5 is what we got it at. I'm assuming it's probably it's down to 6, but yeah, this is not a fade the Dolphins thing. This is a Broncos can't start 0-3, so they're gonna spill the kitchen sink out. like all of the frying pans, all of the canned goods that you have in your cabinet are going to be all over the kitchen floor. All of the utensils were busting out: spatulas, whisks, ladles, woks.
Joe knows the
big glass
utensils.
Baking.
We just heard it.
Huh?
Joe what? Knows all the kitchen utensils. We just heard it right
the
there.
The big glass baking dishes. This is everything you have in your cupboards for the Broncos. Because if you lose this, you're done. It's over. Finito. I still think they probably will. 6 points is also a massive back door to have open. Check the Patriots-Dolphins game last week for an example. Even though that finished at 7, it's still it could be 31 to 20 late. And, 28-17 and you score like a late touchdown or something. But regardless, plus 6 is too many points, I think. I think if the Dolphins cover that, then we have to really start having interesting conversations about the Dolphins ceiling. Because if they blow the Broncos out by double digits, if they win by double digits today against a team that's like super duper desperate, then all right, the Dolphins might be for real. So those are our Sinister Six picks for the week. Dan, are you trying to fade me like you did last week because you're not a team player or what?
Just want to say the fade worked a bit last week, so
It did.
I definitely got to fade you on college because I'm over on Gotham Gambling. We're currently 42-10 on college football this year. We're up 15 units already this season.
That's fine because on Saturdays I just like
to
watch.
That little nugget in there just to mess with you.
On Saturdays I just want to watch. I don't want to be tied, but with my picks, I just want to sit back, watch, enjoy my Noles, and let chaos happen.
So. I'm going to go over some of the player props. I want to start it off with, we did our Madden parlay of the day again. That one last week, it lost by 2 yards. So we ran it back again. The game we got randomly selected was the Jacksonville-Houston game. Wasn't too excited about that, but I let I let fate decide that one. So for that one, we have Trevor Lawrence to get 250-plus passing yards. Christian Kirk over 50 plus receiving yards, and Jacksonville to be winning at the end of the first half. And surprisingly, that odds right there comes out to almost a plus 400. So $10 wins you 50. The one I tried to stay away from money lines and spreads this week. I saw something earlier this week that said 0-2 teams are 57-25 in week 3 against the spread for week 3s. So I as much as that could be just a random thing, it could have been just matchup luck. That's too good of a record to even look at. So I tried to stay away from that best I can. So the big one I'm hammering heavily because I caught it when it was at 40 on Monday is the Jets and the Pats under. So currently the line's at 36.5. I would even still put money on that.
35.
Once it gets under
35 on FanDuel, 35.5.
I checked it this morning. It was at 36, so it's still dropping. I would even still sprinkle a bit on that. I wouldn't go any lower, but these two teams have the last couple of meetings, they have not scored. We saw it. This was the game famously that Zach Wilson got benched last year, and there was one touchdown scored between both teams, and it was a punt return. So I think this is going to be one of those boring to watch. No one's going to have more than 100 yards. It's just going to be punt after punt after punt after punt, and it's going to finish like 10-7 again, 13-10. They're, with Zach Wilson at quarterback, as much as Garrett Wilson's a great target, I think Belichick can easily shut him down. And Belichick, with the rain and everything out here, Belichick's just going to pound the run game. Stevenson, Elliott, you can even put a little bit of money on their overs for rushing yards. I think they're going to play fairly solid. So there's that one. I had a couple player props I absolutely love, and I may get hate for these, but I will gladly go down on this sinking ship if it is. The first one is Desmond Ritter's over on passing yards. Now, I caught it at 193.5. It's at 195, I believe, last I checked. We saw what happened when they actually have the passing game, when they don't just rely on running and their little three-headed monster in the backfield. He had nearly 300 yards. It was a high-scoring game against a team whose defense is solid, but I wouldn't say great. And you're going to have another matchup this week with a Lions defense that's solid, but not great. And we just have to see what's going to happen, especially with Okuda possibly coming back. I think they're going to get enough pressure on him that there's going to be a lot of dump downs to Bijan, Algier, and Patterson if he's in. But I think they're going to go down quick in this game, though, and they're going to have to find a way back, and it's going to be the passing game. All eyes are on Bijan. Yeah, what's up, Jordan?
Hey, so just you talked about the 193.5 on DraftKings. Desmond Ritter's at 190.5 right now.
The hammer it again.
Yeah, after I saw that you posted that on Twitter, I hopped on and checked. I got it at 191.5. So
Also, shout out to Jordan, because I'm manically posting bets at 1:30 in the morning. I only get one notification. It's a like and a retweet from Jordan every single time.
we're disgusting.
I was like, oh wait, you're up at this time too?
Dude, Saturday nights are just my night.
The books are sleeping.
Projections have him at 205. I think he could easily hit 220, 230. And if you even want to take him at 200 plus yards on FanDuel, when I got that this morning, it was plus 110. So you can double your money at least for 200 plus yards on this. I mean, if you get it at 193, if you get it at 190, either way, 7 to 10 more yards is nothing, especially when it comes towards the fourth quarter. The other one is going to be Andy Dalton over 213.5 passing yards. Yes, I know it's gross. I will go down on this ship. The Red Rocket's going to come back. He's gonna have Adam Thielen, who, yes, it's bad, but Thielen seems to be the go-to target in this Panthers offense. They're going to be down. They're going to focus on Miles Sanders because they know Dalton's a backup. My projections had him over 280. So that's why I had to hammer this one. I looked at like three different sources. They all had him over between 250 and 280. So that was just too high over not to take this. So I took him at 213.5. Just an easy lock right there for me. I think definitely against the Seahawks defense. Unless they can shut down Carolina like they did in the fourth quarter in the Lions game, which is possible, he should have a day today. And my last one real quick before we go on, and once again, all these we're going to go over all these again and more at 11:30 on Golden Ticket Show. We're going to do rapid fire for all player props and bets we like for each game this week. Our last one's going to be, as I mentioned him earlier, Zay Flowers over 52.5 yards. I haven't seen an update on his line. I think it's kind of went up and down on different books. Last I checked, Prize Picks had it at 53 on the dot. He's hit it every game so far. I think he's slowly becoming Lamar's favorite target. The targets are there, the passes are there, and even when it's short balls, he's able to move with the ball. No Beckham. I believe, if I remember right, Bateman's out too, or if not, it doesn't matter. They're going to focus on Andrews and Bateman. He's going to get his touches. He's averaging 70 yards a game right now. His projections have him close to 60. So I think when they do pass this week, I think Flowers is going to be getting most of the targets. And I think he's easily going to I think he could finish the season wide receiver one on that Baltimore team, the way he's playing. So there's my three, Ritter, Dalton, Flowers. We're going to go into more of a deep dive on all of them at 11:30.
Deep dive real quick. I want to open this up to the board, because this is the one game that I feel like I could probably be completely wrong on today more than any of them, is Packers Saints. Do any of y'all have a good feel about that one? I'm excited to see it, just to see how LaFleur tries to manage what he's got against that defense. And I think today will tell us a lot about Green Bay's overall potential for the year. So where do you guys feel about that, or where are you leaning? What are you looking for in that one?
I think this is the game. I think this is going to have to be a statement game for Michael Thomas. If he wants to prove that he's back to where he used to be, it's going to have to be this week, because he's actually going up against a team that has somewhat of a secondary that can guard him and Olave at the same time. And I think he's going to get his receptions, but can he get the yards after? Is it going to be another 3-yard dump down, fall on the ground, and then get back up and go for another one? So I'm heavy on him today again. I'm taking his receptions, a little bit on his yards, depending on where you find it at. But I think him and just the Saints offensive line, this is really going to be their test to see how good they're going to be this year.
Chris Jordan, anything on that game? Nick? Oh, Chris. Chris versus mute button.
Sorry, Joe. If you didn't speak for 20 minutes, I wouldn't have to do it. anyway. Real issue is I think Jordan Love is going up against an elite secondary. This is going to be one of those firsts for him where he does kind of fall flat on his face here, because I would assume Aaron Jones would get a lot more of the workload if he wasn't out. But having to hand it off to Dylan is a completely different story than handing it off to Aaron Jones. I think this is set up for a bad day for Green Bay.
I think that's on the board.
I just think Derek Carr is terrible. That's just my opinion.
So I play wrong half the time.
Yeah, I play the under on that game for sure. I think it's just going to be an ugly game all around.
Which means it's going to be beautiful. Anytime we have wild, gross takes, I need to get one of them little pop-up signs on a stick that just say, sicko, sicko.
Okay, the gang each week picks somebody to score a touchdown. Josh Jacobs got me 9 carries and negative 2 yards on the ground last week, so I am abandoning ship. I am never picking Josh Jacobs again until he treats me better. So how
was your fault for rocking with the Raiders?
I know, right? Yeah.
Joke, bro.
So here's what we've got for this week. DJ going big. He's pulling Mahomes out with a plus 290 on FanDuel for Mahomes to get a touchdown. Kelsey, we've already seen Chris pick up a win this week. Brian's
got one.
I'm going with Williams in L.A. He was big for me last week. Very, very profitable day for me, thanks to Williams a week ago. So I'm going to back up the Brinks truck this week with him, looking for my first touchdown of the season. And then we've got Jordan going with ETN today. Pacheco, that's who Vasco's got. Dan, you've got Tony Pollard. Aaron's already picked up a dub this week. And Doug thinks Justin Jefferson finally gets that first touchdown of the season. Anything jump out to you guys here?
I think Kyren Williams is definitely a good pickup, too. I think the way I've just seen that offense run is get the ball inside the 10 and then just run it in or kick a field goal. So I think he's definitely good for one. He might vulture a second one, too.
And now before we get to our questions, what would happen if two desperate 0-2 teams need a win this week and it doesn't happen for either of them? Joe, for a brief minute here.
For anybody. Okay, this is disgusting, but it's so funny. The Vikings and the Chargers are two of the dumbest and most funny teams in the league. So what happens when two desperate teams who are both 0-2 and are playing each other need a win? Neither wins, and they tie. The wouldn't it be hilarious parlay of the week is centered around the Chargers and the Vikings tying. So we are taking Chargers plus 1.5. Game total, it's I think at 54.5 now, depending on where you get it, but we're taking that game total over. Chargers and Vikings both over their team total. Both are at 27.5. Right now on FanDuel, you can get 26.5 for the Vikings. Let's see what the next one is. Here it is. So this is first half winner, end of regulation winner parlay. That's the bottom one. So you go Chargers in the first half and then tie, because that's really good odds. That helps juice this. And then you also go Chargers plus 1.5 and over their point total in the first half. The way you put this together in your head is Chargers get off to a good start, so they score 2 touchdowns in the first half and they have a lead. So that's why they're covering and you go over. Then the Chargers do their Chargerist. They blow the game a little bit. The Vikings start to roll, and they come back. This game gets to, you know, both teams score 4 touchdowns. That gets us to the over on both team totals. That also gets us to the game total over. The game being tied gets us to the Chargers cover. And here's the thing. The crazy part about this, we don't even need the game to end in a tie for this to hit, because the first half winner, end of regulation parlay. That's just that. We have Chargers winning the first half and it being a tie and going to overtime. We don't even need a tie for this to hit. It would just be funny if it ended in a tie. So you could just get overtime in this cashes. Plus 11,113 right now on FanDuel. $100 wins you $10 wins you like $1,100 for this game to be like 28-28 going to OT if the Chargers also win the first half. So
Joe is so confident. He's putting 5 units on this bet.
I'm just saying these are the two dumbest teams in the league. And this, I feel like that's going to be the game of that game is going to be the game of the century because both teams are going to try to lose it at least 12 times.
I love it. Some redundancy in here, but I love it. Juiced it with the leg.
I saw one the other day. Someone said, can't wait for the 0-15 Bears to play the 0-15 Cardinals and end in a tie.
Oh, that'd be great too.
I love it. We'll get to your reader questions next. Stay tuned.
Do you love everything sports? So do we. That's why we shop at Atomic Sports Cards and Collectibles. Atomic has everything you could ever want to blow up your collections. They have sports cards ranging from the 1980s to today, whether it's singles, wax packs, hangers, or boxes. They've got vintage hats, clothes, and collectibles from your favorite teams to widen your collection. Check out Atomic Sports Cards and Collectibles today at 102 4th Street West, Milan, Illinois.
You from the West, the podcast covering Illinois high school football. Weekly analysis and reaction from around the western side of the state of Illinois.
This is the game we had circled when the year started.
Follow along on YouTube and Twitter and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's big time football out there tonight, and I know we can play big time football.
You from the West, we got you covered.
All right, so that's where we stand. We get to your viewer and listener questions this week, and we'll try to not dwell on each of them super long, but we'll jump right in, and Dirty Money has been hanging out since the top of the show, so he gets to go first. Terry McLaurin or Brian Robinson, half PPR in the flex. Anyone want to jump on that one?
I think you got to go Brian Robinson.
Brian Robinson.
Yep, I agree. We've got someone else also asked, Kyren Williams or Ramondre Stevenson. That one seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, Ro. Yeah, keep rolling with Ramondre, I think.
I was thinking Kyren.
Is Ramondre rolling?
Is he rolling at all this season?
That is a fair point. That is a fair point. Yeah, because I guess they play the Bengals. I guess it's a little tougher than I think.
I don't know. Maybe with Waddle out.
With Waddle out.
Ramondre, it's more just with the way the weather is and the way Belichick likes to play against the Jets. That ball is going to be in the hands of him and Elliott pretty much the entire game.
Oh, shit. I'm just thinking Raheem Mostert. My fault, guys.
Jordan's drunk.
Right. I don't think you can ever bet on a Belichick running back. I just don't like it.
Yeah. No, I'm with Kyren Williams then.
I thought the Patriots running backs were going to have a field day last week against that Dolphins defense, but that didn't happen.
That's a great point. I think our D-line is actually good, but if our D-line messed them up, imagine the Jets D-line should destroy them. So, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, Kyren Williams probably is the smarter play.
Lydia's been hanging out, waiting patiently. She says, Tyler Lockett or a questionable DK Metcalf?
Metcalf is good to go. So they just reported that he will play. I think I like Metcalf, but that's just me.
Okay.
I'm staying out of this one because this person's in my fantasy league. So I'm going to take a step back on this one.
I would always go DK.
Lydia, I want you to win whoever. I hope you're playing Dan, and I hope you beat him today. I'm just kidding.
I cooked her week one just off Dallas's defense.
So your advice is to start neither and just, like, go pick up their sixth wide receiver and start them instead.
I told her Robert Woods, but she wouldn't pick him up.
Yeah, drop DK and pick up Woods.
I told her Plaxico Burress was a great option, but she didn't. She couldn't find him. That's a weird reference. If anyone gets that, they're my best friend now.
That's fantastic, bro.
Sports Spotlight says if Aaron Jones doesn't play and he has been listed as out, they're going to move Kyren to running back. They had another question, so they've tweaked it a little bit. Christian Kirk or Josh Reynolds at receiver?
Kirk. I don't think it'll be as wild of them just force-feeding him this week, but I do think they're starting to figure some stuff out where they're going to start utilizing him, you know, with some quick game. So, Kirk.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go Josh Reynolds. I'm fading you again.
How dare you?
Kirk, like I said last week when I put Kirk in, and if you tailed that, he cashed by over like 75 yards. Kirk does not play well against zone defenses, and Houston's been running a lot of zone defense. Their zone usage has been a lot more lately. I think Ridley is going to be getting a lot more touches. Peterson even said himself they save the game. They keep Kirk out of the game plan as much as they can when it's zone defense and focus on him and man. So I would go Josh Reynolds. I think he's good to vulture at least a touchdown.
They're both not great, but I like Kirk because he's got a better floor.
Okay. Receiver, half PPR, Jacoby Myers, Gabe Davis. They've also got Stephon Diggs.
Stop playing or stop thinking about playing Gabe Davis. Though today is the type of day where he has his two catches, 166 yards, two touchdowns type game. So, you know, maybe this is it. Stephon, obviously, you would love to roll. Jacoby, I guess if Jacoby Myers. Is Jacoby Myers, like, awake? Or is he still, like, pinned to the mile-high field turf after that hit he took in week one?
You would know, Joe.
I wouldn't know. All right, that's my take. Just don't play Gabe Davis.
Someone's got a question here about trading James Cook and Amari Cooper for Josh Jacobs full PPR.
Gross.
Josh Jacobs, I think his stock's definitely down to start the season. As an owner, I agree.
I wouldn't give up Cooper with it. I think Cooper's like starting to hit his stride a bit. I think he's going to have a good couple of weeks over the next couple of weeks. If you had a lower receiver, I would get rid of him, but not for Cooper.
We got three to pick here. Javonte, DeAndre, Tyler Andre, Brees Andre, and Jerome Andre.
That's messed up.
I want Andre.
Andre, yeah.
I'm gonna do Swift, Algier, and Breece Hall. I think Breece Hall might get Breece Hall and Cook are gonna get some yards today.
I like those.
Yeah, Swift, Hall.
I can eliminate Jerome Ford for you, so then you can pick three out of there.
Hating Ford all day.
Yeah, that Titans D line something fierce. That middle three there is your best route.
And with Javonte, just like we were talking about, we thought Stevenson and Elliott were going to do good against the Dolphins run D. I don't see what Javonte Williams still isn't, I don't think, 100% healthy. So I don't even expect him to have a good game.
Joe liked Algier's 20 yards he had last week.
Got to pick T. Higgins,
Josh Kelly, full PPR in the flex from Big Trev on YouTube.
How big is Trev? Are you 6'5"? Do you have to be at least 6'5" to have big in your name? What if he's 5'7"? That'd be funny.
Big Trev's.
I'm just saying, if Big Trev is like 5'7", much power, love it. Power to you. Sorry. Oh gosh. I want to say T just because I feel like we should probably be fading Josh Kelly when he's the starting running back.
T Higgins.
It's gross, but yeah, T Higgins.
I like Kelly, and that's just because, I mean, is Burrow's out, isn't he? He's not playing this week.
He's still questionable, but, yeah, he's not going to play.
Yeah. He's probably not going to. That's a fair point.
I feel like the floor is there for Kelly. He's going to get the work. You know that for a fact. I think the floor is better with Kelly. I mean, but Higgins has the higher upside.
It's
going to be a Jake Browning legacy game on Monday. Bengals
backup quarterback? I don't even know.
Jake Browning, baby.
Yeah, Jake Browning. Moly. If you look up Bengals, if you Google Bengals, the first thing that comes up is backup quarterback 2023. Jake Bowling Browning rhythm. Legacy game, baby. Hammer it.
They could not afford anybody else because Joe Burrow took all their money. Jalen Warren, Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks. Who are you starting half PPR in the flex?
Not Brandon Cooks.
No. Anyone. ABC, anybody but Cooks.
Hey.
Thomas this week. Sure.
Thomas.
You know what? Jalen Warren. Let's see if Matt Canada has a brain.
Warren scares me. Because I always – I had a buddy who used to say whenever you play the Raiders, it's run AMC, run away from Max Crosby. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do again. Like, their secondary is trash, but you still have to worry about Max Crosby pretty much all across the field.
I'm in love with our use of acronyms today, boys. We're doing a great job.
I'm Jackson, proud of us. Similar question, full PPR, though, Michael Thomas or Brandon Cooks. Do we still like to avoid Cooks here?
Michael Thomas all day.
Jair Alexander's not playing today?
Yeah, he's out.
Oh, God, I might have to rethink. God, they are banged up.
That's why Thomas's line went up. It was 3.5 on Friday, and it was 4.5 receptions now.
Can I recant that bet? I don't remember. Nick one day on my show did a 7. He didn't do Sinister 7, but he did a 7th. With a different S word. The 7th pick would be lay the points with the Patriots, the 2.5. So if you don't like the Packers today and their mash unit potentially, Patriots.
Mike Williams, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, pick 2. Myself, I'm leaving Higgins out here if Burrow's out. Yep.
Williams and Pittman.
Pittman's a great,
but leave Higgins out just to be safe.
Here's a good one.
Mania, baby.
From us, we're going to cancel Joe.
Oh,
yeah. if I haven't canceled yet, good luck, baby.
Pick 2 running backs to start. Pacheco, Rashad White, Ford, Mixon, full PPR. We know who Jordan's axing right from the get-go here. I like Mixon and White myself.
Mixon, Pacheco.
He's going to get a heavy workload if Burrow's completely out.
Yeah. I like White because he's getting a lot of looks. He hasn't necessarily gotten the yardage yet, but they're feeding him. Eventually, that has to pay off eventually, I would think. You would hope.
I think we're just waiting in the wings for a mixed and smash game.
Yeah. Last year he struggled, and then, puts up 5 touchdowns that 1 week. This is it.
Mixon's going to go off because I'm pretty sure the backup quarterback for the Bengals is like having nightmares thinking about he has to go up against Aaron Donald now. He's going to call an audible every pass play. I can see it happening.
A lot of check with knees, baby.
Malachi asked for a start 2 here. Brian Robinson, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, Kareem Hunt.
We know who Nick's not taking. Josh Jacobs.
I'm fading him. He's out.
I'm blaming Josh Jacobs for at least 2 weeks.
The most realistic thing here is Josh Jacobs and Brian Robinson, I think. I don't feel like Josh Jacobs – I know the Steelers' defense is insane, and that's why I'm picking them today. But, like, I feel like Josh Jacobs isn't going to be that bad today again. Right? Right? Right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean – Josh Jacobs loves Kenny Pickett. That's all that it is.
I love it. Can't get enough of him.
I like Josh Jacobs. Give me Brian Robinson.
Give me Robinson and Mixon just because I'm boycotting Jacobs.
Same. Hey, that's my guy right there. That's my guy.
Yeah. Mess up a 20-leg parlay because he had -2 yards.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, frustrating. And Njoku or Ertz today, PPR?
Neither.
I'll go with Ertz.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Njoku looks like he should be a tight end god, and he just disappears for long stretches.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I have a soft spot for Njoku, but I would go Ertz.
Yeah, Ertz. I mean, he's getting the targets. I mean, Njoku, I mean, God, the guy, when he catches the ball, dude, he runs through people. It's awesome to watch, but he's just not getting the volume.
Braxton Berrios or KJ Osborne? I'm taking Berrios sliding up as the second receiver, and KJ stuck down at third in that offense. Two really good offenses, though. It's probably the only game where we're thinking, third string guys are startable.
There's a world.
KJ Osborne is KJ Osborne is my favorite touchdown vulture of all time, because every time they throw it deep, you think it's going to Jefferson, but KJ Osborne is somehow the one with the ball. So give me him.
I will say that I know Berrios is going to be on the field a lot, but KJ Osborne has been on the field for over 90% of the snaps for Minnesota since the start of the season. Granted, it's only been 2 weeks, and I'd get there, you know, Addison's kind of, he's going to tear into that here eventually, but highest scoring game, AJ Osborne. I mean, I like it. I like him to catch a deep bomb today.
Won't have time to get through all of them. I'll try to pick a few last ones here. Gino or Russ at quarterback today?
Gino.
Panthers just lost like their entire defense.
Similar question, Tua or Hurts?
I like Hurts just because of the rushing upside.
Yeah.
Tua? Broncos defense ain't good. I would probably say Tua.
Cousins or Herbert?
Cousins.
Yeah. Both.
Good game to start a quarterback in, for sure.
Damn straight.
All right. So we didn't get through all of them. But we got close. We'll take it. Rapid fire. One of you guys give me your QB one of the week. One of you give me a running back one of the week. Receiver one. Tight end one. Whoever wants to go first can pick which position you want to cover.
Tight end one, Travis Kelce.
Cousins QB one for anybody?
I'll go Herbert.
All right, quarterbacks off.
Wide receiver one. I'm going to go to the stretch here. I'm going to say Mike Williams.
Oh, man.
Oh, that leaves me with the running back.
Gutsy call.
Oh, God. Running back one. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Jahmyr Gibbs.
Running back one probably already played this week.
That's the problem.
That doesn't count. We're talking about Sunday.
Bijan and Gibbs both could go nuts today.
Yeah, it was either of those two, but I think they give Gibbs the keys to the castle today, and let the rookie show what he can do. Mm-hmm.
And finally, what game that isn't your team are you watching today?
To back off the Brian Robbins or to back on the Bijan Gibbs train, that Falcons Lions game today is going to be scintillating. Inject that IV into my bloodstream for 3 hours. That game's going to be awesome. So that's the one. I'm going to be glued to it.
You strike me as a Patriots Jets guy, Joe.
Depends on the day.
Yeah, that's my pick. If you're not getting drunk on a Sunday watching Bill Belichick run for 2 yards at a time and Zach Wilson misses receivers by 10 yards, then you're not watching football.
Not at all. How many times can I spam the same inside zone run?
Well, my girlfriend yells at me that the game is boring because it's 3-0 in the third.
Like, it's not boring.
Yeah, I like that DK put like Zach Wilson below like backups this week. I thought that was like one of the biggest troll jobs I've ever seen.
That's terrible. Yeah, I'll be watching the Chargers Vikings game for sure.
Yeah, those two games have game of the week written all over them.
Chargers Vikings, maybe just don't turn it on until the fourth quarter because that's when the drunken craziness will start.
Yeah, well, that'd be
they're
just
playing
nuts.
Flag football out there, we'll have neither of them want to tackle anybody.
It'll be five lead changes.
No, but that Vikings Chargers game has sponsored by hallucinogenic drugs written all over it.
Aaron Rodgers
Josh
is
says Kyron's going to be our RB one of the week. By the way, let's will it into existence, shall we? All right, gentlemen, we had fun. We did good, I think.
We did great. What are you talking about? Good. We did great.
So we've got the golden ticket coming up next. We'll talk some more betting with our man in the hat right there, Mr. Dan. So, all right. Thanks, everyone, for watching. You've been enjoying a fine, fine rendition of For Fantasy Sake. Everyone, may your teams win. May your starting running backs have two fully functioning legs after today. And may everybody get out of here healthy and safe and winning.
Yeah, RIP Nick Chubb. Thanks to everybody who watched. Shout out to all of our sponsors. Check out Educated Ignorance with me and our lovely host, Brinksy Boy Lighter, tonight to wrap up all the good stuff.
Peace.
Later, everybody.
See you guys later.
Thanks, guys.